Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at RHKL.
We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birnbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment, 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. Again, thank you to our sports section, Breakthrough Sports. Last 2 hours, usually we have Breakthrough Entertainment early, 11 to 12, and a special edition right now from 1 to 2. In studio, of course, Greg Isaac and Joseph Erdo. Guys, how are you?
Great.
Yeah, holla. How's it doing?
Holla?
No, we're not going to do that.
You said holla. Well,
no,
you mean holla?
No. Holla.
Yeah. Oh, holla.
Yeah.
I forgot what that meant. Aloha, you mean?
Sure.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Dave's just old, so.
Yeah. No, I'm not that old.
Yeah, you're pretty old.
Come on, Old Man in the Sea or something? Isn't that a movie? Okay.
That's
right. Anyway, joining us right now, we have a great guest calling in right now, Devin Bostick. Devin, welcome to the show.
Hello, holla.
Hey, holla. All right. That's excellent. And I'm Dave Isaac, the host, alongside Greg Isaac and Joseph Erdo. Joseph, back to you.
Yes. You know, it's great to have you on, Devin. We're all big fans of yours, and you're the producer of this film. Let me tell our listeners a little bit about this short film that you guys are filming right now, and then we'd love to ask you a few questions about it. It's called Seasick Sailor. Keir Gilchrist plays a teenager who spends his days stocking shelves at the local drugstore, that is, when he's not killing people for a boss that he's never met. Over the course of the story, we see him try to balance the growing responsibilities of his unorthodox job while trying desperately to establish a real connection with someone else, like an adjusted young adult. Other stars of this, you have several stars, but they include Martha McIsaac and Martin Starr. Tell us a little bit about, you know, you're the producer of this, right? You're not acting in it?
Yeah. I mean, my friend Tori wrote it and is directing, and he handed me the script, and I loved it, and I've just been working with a bunch of great actors over these years, I wanted to put them all in a thing together, and this seemed perfect. So yeah, so I'm producing it, and I might make a cameo here and there, but really just trying to get the greatest group together on something that's artistic and has a lot of integrity and something that we wanted to do. So.
Now, was it difficult to get such a great cast? Because I just mentioned a few of them, but you've got, you know, some great hot young actors in this film. Was it difficult with scheduling and all that?
I mean, it's wild, the cast that we got for this. I mean, it all happened because everyone's sort of friends, but also, I mean, it's connections that we've built up from different people from working on different sets. But yeah, the schedules were tough, but we really wanted to make it work with certain people. So, I mean, we've got Fran Kranz from Cabin in the Woods and TV set. And we've also got Brandon J. McLaren from The Killing and Graceland, Emily Osment from Hannah Montana, like all over the place. We've got Stephen Bauer from Scarface. And it's just the people that I worked with and friends and people that really trusted and loved the script and wanted to get together and work on something that was artistic and different.
Okay, excellent. Well, we cannot wait to see it. And, you know, our listeners probably know you most from Diary of a Wimpy Kid, those films. You're the older brother in those films. And you're also in Saw 2, several other films. But you're the producer of this. Can you tell us, is this the first time you're going to be producing a project? And what do you think of the role so far?
it's the first time I'm full on producing a project of this size. I mean, I associate produced before, but it wasn't nearly the same amount of responsibility. It's a whirlwind, and it's really euphoric kind of to see all these people come together and just trying to make this script, these words come alive. And the thought that everyone came here to do this, and they all loved it, is and it's all coming together, and everyone's actually here, and we're really filming, is heavenly. So, but also nerve-wracking.
You know, yeah. Devin, it's just really impressive. I mean, you're just 21 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you feel? I mean, do you realize, you know, at least from my standpoint, and many people, a lot of your fans, that it's so impressive to think a 21-year-old can do so much so far in your career, including now producing this. How do you feel about that? Do you recognize age as an opportunity or an obstacle?
I mean, I think it's an opportunity, but I've always had this sort of mentality. I don't really think about age, and everyone I've ever met and hung out with and ever worked with, I've always usually been the youngest or whatever, but I've never really thought about it, and it's just sort of, I don't know, it's nice. I'm trying to get as much done before I get old and can't.
Wait, how old is old and can't?
Yeah, like Dave, right?
Yeah.
Dave here in his early 80s.
I hope you're referring to like 105 or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. 100, you know. Yeah.
Dave's almost there. Hey, and Devin, of course, with your large body of work, especially as an actor here, as Joseph mentioned in the Saw series and then the Diary of a Wimpy Kid series playing older brother Roderick, completely different types of films, of course. You have comedy and like a family type comedy, and then of course with Saw, big time horror. Is there a certain type of film that you like to work on more than others, or do you like to really expand your horizons like it seems here?
I mean, I've always been sort of down to test what I can do and push the limits on my acting. So I've always wanted to try new genres and stuff, but I love comedy and I love drama. It's just I grew up with comedy and I love having a good time and making people laugh. But also, it's really nice to switch it around and make people think and feel these darker emotions. So I just like doing all kinds of stuff, and I love film and television and making magical stuff happen.
And you kind of grew up in a family of performers, or I believe your mother was a casting director, father an actor, and were you around movie sets quite a bit when you were younger?
To tell you the truth, no. I didn't actually know. I mean, I know it's in my blood, and that sort of I've always realized that, but I actually joined a theater camp in grade one. I didn't really have many friends in this new area, and one of my friends asked me to join. And I did that for 5 years, and as I grew older than six, I figured out what my mom did for a living, and I was like, how do I do this for real? I didn't go to many sets until I started working, I guess, at age 10, and it's just been it's been crazy. But yeah, I'm really blessed and thankful to have my parents in the industry to, you know, pass down their wisdom, but now I'm doing it on my own.
now, Devin, looking into the future, what's something really passionate you're about that you really want to accomplish? I mean, you've done so much at a young age. What's looking good for you in the future? What is that one thing that you just really want to accomplish?
Well, I mean, I've been writing since grade 11. I've had a few features that I've almost gotten off the ground out here, and I really want to make one of my features come to life, and that was one of the reasons why we started doing this short film, was because we got so close and we had such a great cast, people from this cast that we're shooting with now, but also more on this feature that I wrote, and we almost got funding and then it fell through, and so Tori wrote this in frustration, and it's sort of a dark place about, you know, this whole short is about doing the work that you have to do and the struggle of what you want to do. And trying to balance that. So I really would like to try and, you know, work on more things like this with my friends and really talented actors and things that I truly believe in. Just keep producing good stuff.
Oh, that sounds like a really interesting film, this. Now, you guys are filming it right now, right? And what is the route that you guys are going to take to, you know, get it distributed?
I mean, hopefully we're going to try to go to some festivals. It's got such a killer cast that I have no worries about sending it out to people. and it's looking beautiful. But yeah, I think just we're going to try festival circuits, and then Tori and I are going to start writing the feature right after we finish this madness.
Are the two connected? Are the same characters, same cast at all?
For
your feature that you're hoping for.
But we're going to try and extend the feature for this, this short into a feature, but it does have some of the same cast for the other film I was talking about that I had written, but yeah, different stuff. We've got a lot of different things on the go.
Oh, yeah. Sound very busy.
I hopefully I'll also get this this series off the ground. I just sold a series to McGee's company at Wonderland, so...
Oh.
That I'm writing with my partner Danny Mackey, so hopefully that'll be produced and ready to go next year.
excellent.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have the Phoenix Film Festival here. We'd love to, you know, I don't know if we can unofficially or officially invite you guys out, but we'd love to have you guys here.
That'd be great.
and we have the Party Pavilion. We'd love to meet you all and have you in studio as well.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. That'd be great.
And now, you know, as a true fan of the Diary of a Wimpy Kid franchise and a true Roderick fan, will we see another one? Can you tell us at all? Will we see your character again?
I gotta be honest with you. I don't think so. Just because the kids really grew up over the span of those 3 years. I know there's a bunch of books and they're all so great, but we all had... you know, the three picture thing going, and then once those finished, you know, the Wimpy Kid was growing hair under his armpit, so and his voice dropped to my voice right now. So it was very scary to see my movie brother grow up like this this fast. But and it was such an amazing experience. But yeah, I wish we could have done more. But I think, you know, they all grew up very quick.
And finally, And finally, you mentioning voices, you have quite a voice yourself. Do you, with Loaded Diaper and all that? Do you sing at all, or do you have a band?
No, I don't. But you know, I've always wanted to start kind of a joke one. I've always said, thank goodness Wimpy Kid was a comedy, because my singing in that was more humorous than professional.
Well, your version was better than the Justin Bieber version, by the way. Yeah. Baby, baby.
Thank you very much. I hope he hears this.
Well, Devin Bostick, thank you so much. Producer of Seasick Sailor, of course, one of the stars in Diary of Wimpy Kid movies. Such an honor to have you on our Breakthrough Entertainment show today here on 1480 KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And that's Devin Bostick. We just love talking to these stars, upcoming stars, people that have done so much either in their youth or even at any age. You could tell their passion. That's the theme that I've been noticing on Breakthrough Entertainment. People are these stars, these producers, directors, writers, actors, actresses, they have passion. And that's what it takes, I think, in the entertainment industry, because it's hit or miss sometimes.
Well, also talent. And I got to tell you, seen all this guy's movies, Devin Bostick is a really talented guy.
Absolutely.
You know, love all of his movies. He hasn't made a bad one yet. And so behind the scenes, I can only expect greatness.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, as you said, with the Diary of the Wimpy Kid franchise, you know, normally I like the raunchy comedies, mm-hmm. and here's a PG-type movie. But you know what?
It's good movies.
It's good. Yeah. It's funny. They add some good stuff. And Devin's character, Roderick, the older brother, as a typical older brother, he plays the role perfectly, and especially in the second one, where I believe it's called Roderick Rules, Diary of Wimpy Kid Roderick Rules. So he really, was one of the main characters in all three of the movies, but really emphasis there. And definitely a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, no doubt about it. But you're right, Joseph, about the talent. They are super talented, and so enjoyable talking to each of these great, great talents, passionate people. You gotta love that.
Yeah, we're gonna track Seasick Sailor by the way through its production, distribution, and all that stuff. And I'm really gonna fight and try to get this this short here at the Phoenix Film Festival in some way, shape, or form, because I'd love to have them out, because they have Party Pavilion. We'll party with them. We'll have them in the studio.
Yeah.
And I cannot wait to see this film. And we're gonna continue to track its progress for everyone.
I think that's a great idea. And of course, right after a break, we'll take a break now. We'll have reviews, Grown Ups, Pacific Rim, The Way, Way Back, an interview with Virginia Madsen. Hot flashes, am I right?
Yes, absolutely.
And I'm going to have a comment about that in one of my favorite movies, Sideways, she was in. This is Breakthrough Entertainment here on 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. We'll be right back.
Money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
At Beerham Baum & Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
I want to make you smile whenever you're sad, carry you around when your arthritis is bad. All I want to do is grow old with you. Get your medicine.
And welcome back again. I love that song, by the way. This is Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM Studios, KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. This is Breakthrough Entertainment alongside Joseph Erdo, our great movie reviewer, and Greg Isaac.
Film columnist. We've been
over
this.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
This.
Film
every
columnist.
Time. Every time.
It's fun.
Film columnist.
You can call me whatever you want.
Film Democratic.
That didn't sound good at all.
Film Democratic. Democracy.
What?
Film democracy. Film columnist. You get it? You see how similar?
It is a film democracy, so if people want to call in and discuss any of the movies that we're going to talk about today, what can they do?
They could call in at 602-252-1480, 602-252-1480. Again, thank you to Devin Bostic. Great. Great guy. There's no doubt. Well accomplished at age 21. We like that. Of course, he's producer of Seasick Sailor. We're going to follow that as it's produced. And he was one of the stars in Diary of a Wimpy Kid movies. Great movies, funny, enjoyable, entertaining.
Yeah, absolutely.
No doubt about it. Now, what are we going to do? Grown Ups 2?
Right. Well, we just heard Adam Sandler singing that last song that brought us back in from the break.
Yeah.
And so it's only appropriate to talk about Grown Ups 2.
Yeah.
Now, we talked about these three movies that we're going to talk about right now on today's show. We talked about them on Thursday, previewed them, discussed their themes, because we knew we had Devin on. We wanted to make sure we gave him plenty of time. But we still need to review them. So, get down to business here. Grown Ups 2, Adam Sandler reprises his role as a man who, after moving his family back to his hometown to be with his friends and their kids, finds out that between old bullies, new bullies, schizo bus drivers, drunk cops on skis, and 400 costume party crashers, sometimes crazy follows you. Kevin James, Chris Rock, and David Spade also star, along with several other of Adam Sandler's closest friends, of course, and minus Rob Schneider, as we discussed on Thursday's show. For some reason, he's not in here one way or the other. But I don't know about you guys. Well, I do know about Greg, but I thought that Grown Ups, the first Grown Ups, was one of the worst movies that I had ever seen. It was my worst film of that year that it came out. I think it was 2010. What say you?
Yes.
It's tough because I love Adam Sandler. And I actually am one of the few that thought That's My Boy was okay.
One of the very few.
Yeah. Well, it was me and one other guy probably that were like, wow, this is funny. I thought it was hilarious at times. But grown-ups, no. So that's why I shocked maybe to see a sequel. But who knows? We'll find out right now what you thought about it.
Yeah, well, I was shocked as well that they decided to make a sequel. But I know that there are a lot of, you know, fans of this film because it's a family film and, you know, people have grown up with Adam Sandler and love his raunchy comedy, but now they're older and they have their kids and they want to see something with Adam Sandler where the raunchiest part of the movie is a deer peeing on someone on Adam Sandler's face.
That was in Grown Ups 1?
No, that's in Grown Ups 2. This is the example of the humor here. And someone being able to sneeze, fart, and burp all at the same time. Can you do that, Dave? Don't do any of those. I'm a gentleman.
I'm an incredible gentleman.
Well, that's the level of the humor here in this movie in Grown Ups 2.
Wow.
Yeah, because it's not funny at all. So, but having said that, and it sounds like faint praise because it is, but this is better than Grown Ups 1.
Really?
But anything could be better than Grown Ups 1.
That is very true. That's what I'm saying. It's faint praise.
So it's not a high bar standard to follow.
No. I'm still giving it a thumbs down. It's not a thumbs up. It's a thumbs down. So don't get me wrong. But, you know, they really did improve in the fact that there's a lot of different cameos in this movie. It really kept me interested from beginning to end. You have, you know, Andy Samberg. Can you list some of the others?
Shaq, Taylor Lautner,
Milo Ventimiglia, Austin.
There's a
bunch of different cameos, and they're all playing.
That's why I probably will see it just for that. And with Andy Samberg, he's one of my favorites. But
his role, by the way, is very, I don't even know if he has any lines. But it's not a very funny movie at all. I think I might have laughed once, and I don't even think it was an actual joke. So, but it was. I did not care for Grown Ups 2, but I still I'm giving it a thumbs down. But I will say that if you were a fan of Grown Ups 1, then you will love this movie. If you were not a fan of Grown Ups 1, then you might still want to check out Grown Ups 2.
Huh, interesting. Well, yeah, I'll check it out because, I mean, I like the cast and all, but obviously the first Grown Ups.
I do like Adam Sandler
overall. I love him, and I love all those guys.
Except for Jack and Jill.
Jack and Jill and Grown Ups are tough to see, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, well, joining us right now, Jim from Phoenix, talking about Adam Sandler movies. Jim, how are you?
Guys, how you doing?
Oh, hey, Jimmy. It's our own Jimmy. Hey, Jimmy, how are you?
I'm doing good. I just wanted to know I can branch out from sports. I
want to know that.
Because Dave, he always calls him Joseph Eridu and Iardo. in the movie, you guys talk about, and I haven't seen it yet, but don't you think that your Adam Sandler's always going to have a loyal following? It doesn't matter how good or how bad.
Good point.
Yeah.
People are just going to go and see because it's Adam Sandler. Because like you said, everybody's in it. I mean, Brad Grunberg, who was in Revenge of the Nerds, plays the postman. He's been in two or three of his movies, so he always gets the same crew, and I think everybody follows his movies from, you know, when it was, you know, Happy Gilmore and The Waterboy. I don't know what you call it, goofy comedy, but people are always going to go and see it, and it's going to make money, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know, Sony banks on that fact as well because, you know, I heard from a box office insider that Sony charges the distributor, the movie theaters more for Adam Sandler movies and Will Smith movies. Well, now that didn't work out too well for After Earth, but we'll have to see if Grown Ups 2 continues to do well. But they charge an arm and a leg for these movies because they do somehow mysteriously make money just like the Tyler Perry movies.
Yeah, and I think you guys are right on, and Jimmy, you're right on, because even though I didn't like the first Grown Ups, and it sounds like I might think the same here, because it's Sandler, and I love all these guys in it, and the some of the other cameos, John Lovitz, I noticed also in it.
His role is terrible in this one.
But still, to see them, we love doing that, so whether it's in theaters or Redbox, because I'm a loyal fan of a lot of these guys, I'll definitely check it out. I'll probably laugh a little bit, but and I like the stupid comedies or the raunchy ones. Although this probably isn't raunchy, just PG-13. But yeah, sometimes I don't know. It's like the same jokes over and over, and I think that's why some of the past few Sandler films, people have kind of gone, we still love him, but taking a little dip, but I he'll bounce back, I'm sure.
Right, yeah. And I wanted to ask Joseph, isn't it true that they always put out like the dumb comedies in summertime because there's nothing for people to do, so they're going to go to the movies? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It always seems like that the drama movies or the high intense movies are released before summer or right after summer because everybody's there, and then how long is it going to be in the theaters? Maybe 2 or 3 weeks, and then it's going to go right to DVD. So I think that's what they're trying to push people towards.
Yeah, you know what? You have a point there, but I've seen enough movies where all year round where they're stupid movies all year round, stupid comedies. But you're right. We've had quite a few in the last few weeks with The Internship, which was absolutely terrible. I would say almost worse than this. Because it didn't have all the cameos and everything, mm-hmm. and they're in and out of the theaters in no time.
Yeah, because you guys, I was going to go see The Internships. I saw here's a day to go sit and watch the movie. Let somebody else pay for the air conditioning. Then you guys gave a review on it, and you said it was terrible. And I said I'm not going. And now everybody says it's terrible. So I don't know if you guys were the first ones to do it or if you just But they said it was just horrendous. And I thought when you go to the movie and you see the clips, you say, hey, that one's not going to be too bad. But you guys said it was going to be terrible, and I didn't even want to bother to go.
Well, Jimmy, thank you so much for calling in. We got to take a break. We don't have to take a break. I saw Greg give me the break sign.
No, that's okay. I was going to mention with the movie real quick is that some other cameos include Alexander Ludwig, who, of course, was in The Hunger Games as the bad guy. Alan Covert, who's in all of Adam Sandler's films. Oliver Hudson. Kate Hudson's brother.
Yes, on Rules of Engagement with David Spade.
But here's some of the more unique ones. Of course, Dan Patrick, who's in a lot of the movies. Mm-hmm. Dennis Dugan, who directs a lot of the films. He has a cameo. He's in it. Jackie Sandler, Adam's wife. She's in quite a bit. His daughter, Sadie Sandler. But also, Paulina Gretzky, daughter of Wayne Gretzky, plays the bikini girl named Daisy.
Daisy.
So yeah, she's made a name for herself. She's extremely gorgeous.
You've got your hands there together. You're very excited.
Patrick Schwarzenegger also in this as well.
So, is that the guy from The Maid or the wife? which one?
I think the wife. So a lot. Will Forte. A lot of people that people interested in seeing. So it will keep the numbers, I'm sure. Okay, even though everyone will come back and say ah.
Yeah, well, so we'll move on to our next movie. And so I gave a thumbs down to Grown Ups 2. Mm-hmm. But you know what? At least it wasn't as bad as Pacific Rim. I'm not going to bury the lead here. This is definitely
movie
a thumbs
can't
down.
Be bad.
Charlie Hunnam and Rinko Kikuchi, here we go again, play two unlikely heroes who, when an alien attack threatens the Earth's existence, pilot a giant robot to fight off the menace, standing as mankind's last hope against the mounting apocalypse. I've never been so unfortunate to have, be hit over the head with heavy machinery for more than 2 hours, but I imagine the feeling is exactly like this. Mm-hmm. This is nothing but a bunch of sound effects, loud sounds, and as big robots and even bigger aliens go head-to-head with fist-to-fist with one another. This is a Guillermo del Toro movie. He usually makes really good movies. This one's terrible. Even the special effects. Now, the special effects, I will say, are amazing. They are spectacular. But if you've seen the trailers for this, most of the action, or even all of the action, takes place in pitch blackness of night while it's pouring rain. So you can't even enjoy the special effects. Because it's too veiled. So I'm giving it a thumbs down. And I don't even like the Transformers franchise, but this is like a million times worse.
Yeah, interesting. I love Transformers, especially the first one, and the others I thought were still okay. Mm-hmm. To me, this looks really good. I haven't seen it, of course, yet. I'll still probably check it out at some point. And one of the main reasons is Charlie Day's in it, who's one of my favorites from Always Sunny and
Horrible
Bosses.
But you don't like
I found him annoying in Horrible Bosses, but
really?
his voice is so screechy. I mean, I
love it.
I know
Very
a few
annoying.
Other chalkboard mouth people.
Yeah.
But this guy, he in this movie, he ruins every scene that he's in, and that's really? Saying a lot because the scenes are terrible to begin with.
I'll say this. The only part of Horrible Bosses that was tough to watch was the fact that Jennifer Aniston kept saying, take me, and he wouldn't do anything about it. But
who's the director of that film, then?
Which one?
Horrible Bosses. Take me.
Huh?
He said, take me. Wouldn't do anything about it.
This is over my head.
Yeah, what a director does is you know, directs how people do things in the movie.
Or the writers, yeah. Right.
Okay. Or the
Dave's
director.
random and nonsensical enlightenment.
Yes, it definitely...
See, Dave doesn't get when we're actually joking or talking about
stuff. I knew you were
in
joking.
Other ways. It's like when that meant no, with
look,
that not,
means
not
break.
With the thing. Right, break with that no. If you stop.
So anyway, I could not
that's
recommend...
That's why I was pointing there.
Yeah, I could not...
And Joseph, too.
Right, both of us. I cannot recommend
Erdel, not two.
Yeah. I cannot. I hope that there's not a Pacific Rim 2, by the way. So this is a big thumbs down. So far we have two thumbs down. Now anyone who listened to our Thursday show, and I hope that they do, did. It's on breakradioshow.com. They will know that we gave a big thumbs up to Pawn Shop Chronicles, right?
Yes,
it was a great movie out. It's playing exclusively at the AMC Arizona Center. You've got several different cast members in this movie, including Paul Walker and. Elijah Wood. Yes,
yeah.
Elijah Wood. So
yeah.
it's a crazy anthology type movie. So big thumbs up for that one. So, but let's talk about another good movie since we had two thumbs up, thumbs down on this show so far. The Way, Way Back. This is a big thumbs up, okay? Played at the Phoenix Film Festival this past spring. Liam James plays a teenager who gets a job at a water park and gains some much-needed self-confidence under the guidance of a happy-go-lucky water park employee, Sam Rockwell, who approaches life from a fresh new perspective. It's playing exclusively at Harkins Camel View 5. This is a crowd pleaser. It's an insightful movie. It's delightful. It's written and directed by Nat Faxon and Jim Rash, who we have some interview clips here from in a moment. But it's going to make you laugh out loud. It's going to touch your heart. It's got this super sharp sense of humor. It strikes a really significant chord with anyone who has ever felt underappreciated, unaccepted, or simply uncertain. The star of this movie, I think, is Sam Rockwell. He's been in several great movies, several great roles, including Moon. My favorite is A Choke about Sex Addicts Anonymous. He steals the show as a fast-talking, facetious goof-off with a humongous heart. But the entire cast, and you've got some great cast members in this film as well, including Steve Carell, Toni Collette, Allison Janney, and Anna Sophia Robb from The Carrie Diaries. They're all excellent, and so it's a little bit of a familiar film, but it's profoundly relatable and genuinely enjoyable, so I'm giving this a big thumbs up.
Ah, great. And this looks fantastic, too. I mean, when we heard some of the clips that you had on Thursday's show from Nat Faxon and Jim Rash, it just made it sound fabulous. And obviously with Steve Carell in any movie. And what's interesting is it sounds like he plays a different type of character than what he normally plays. Because as we mentioned the other day, you know, we always see him as the nice guy. It's like when they said a Knocked Up when Katherine Heigl was pregnant, trying to interview him for E! And, you know, and Bill Hader's mentioning, like, it's impossible to get Steve Carell mad or upset.
Right.
He's the nicest guy out there. So to see him play a character that's a little different from that will be exciting. I haven't seen it yet, but a great cast. And, you know, Nat Faxon and Jim Rash also have roles in the film as well.
Yes.
Writing, directing it. But, and Maya Rudolph, we see her again. It seems like she's everywhere nowadays.
Yeah, because she was in Grown Ups 2, and you know, so but
this one much better.
Yes, this one's much, much better. And I think Maya Rudolph also has a voice role in Turbo.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that one.
Our listeners were there this morning because they were they go to breakradioshow.com, click on the big F in the upper right hand corner, and you could see movies for free before anyone else.
Ooh, and another one that just came up on there, Red 2, screening this Monday. So you got to click on that big F from breakradioshow.com.
Yes. So and now I know that Dave, you were going to really like the Way, Way Back because you like The Descendants, and Jim Rash and Nat Faxon also wrote The Descendants. Now that was based on a book. They adapted it. They won the Oscar for their adapted screenplay for The Descendants. But they wrote this screenplay and they also directed it. So I sat down with Jim Rash and Nat Faxon and I asked them about The Descendants and how it helped them make this movie. And here's what they had to say.
while the core story from the first draft to the end was the same, you know, there's always this evolution of honing scenes and cutting stuff and tweaking characters and looking for that restraint and looking for those moments you can pull back and take some of the wordiness out and, you know, let actions speak louder. And I think working with Alexander and working on adapting a novel, which is all about scaling back, pulling, digging deep into the book, finding what you need, what you don't need. I think that was very helpful for us, too, in that Alexander obviously has made a career of making these movies where, you know, these have these nice small moments, these moments that say so much and so little. And I think we took that to heart. You know, we had a lot of stuff like that in the movie, but when we started shooting and realized we were on a budget, you also have to realize, well, okay, we need to get creative here, and some of these scenes are going to be all in one shot. So we did a number of one-shot scenes, and to the benefit of both the movie and sort of our vision, but also it allowed us to be like we were eavesdropping on these moments.
And it does have a lot of those really small moments that mean a lot, and that's what makes a movie so very special. And Jim Rash, by the way, if you recognize his voice, he plays Dean Pelton on Community, one of the best television shows on right now. It's coming back, or I don't know when they're coming back because it's always on the bubble. But so everyone check that out on NBC. Now let's talk to both of these guys about the stars. Now, first of all, I wanted to ask them about Sam Rockwell. So here's what Nat Faxon had to say about choosing Sam Rockwell.
As we were writing it, we did have the template of Bill Murray from Meatballs in mind, and you know, when we finished the script, or rather when we decided to sort of direct it, we, you know, thought about who is, you know, who could fit that role now, and Sam sort of came to mind almost immediately. And I think he, you know, once you get to know him, he is a very warm and affectionate and caring guy, and has the ability to be very charismatic and full of life and all the sort of qualities that Owen embodies. And so from our first conversation with him, it felt exactly right. And then when we were shooting, you know, he brings so much of his own personality to the role and elevated it in such a way that I think we felt from the beginning that we were so lucky and that we had chosen the exact right guy for this.
Mm-hmm. And Nat Faxon, of course, is from Beer Fest and several other of the Broken Lizard
and
movies.
Papa.
Yeah, absolutely. And now, so on the opposite side of that, Sam Rockwell is the nice guy in this. Steve Carell, as you said earlier, he always plays a nice guy, but here he plays a not-so-nice guy. So here's what Jim Rash had to say about Steve Carell.
I think we knew we wanted to go against type with Trent. You know, I think that was going to be to the character's benefit. And Steve came to mind pretty early as someone who has his innate likability, which is a component we needed Trent to have, this sort of understanding of why Pam, even though she's in this moment where she's got blinders on, that she finds him attractive and what draws him to him, the, you know, that he cares for her and is affectionate, and that with his friends he's fun and sociable, and all those things that make him more of this rounded sort of conflicted tragic male character, you know, this guy who can proclaim that he wants this family and that he needs to be better, but he has no follow-through. And there's a self-awareness there, and I think of his faults. And Steve sort of embraced that, you know, I think embraced the complexities of and the dangers sometimes of being this character, because we're always, like, wondering if our characters have this arc and they'll have their moment of you know, of evolution where they'll see the errors of their ways, but this is not a character that's meant to do that, you know, which makes it very real, and the people in our lives that we know just are stuck in their habits.
Yeah, I know a few people that are like that who won't change. So it's not, life isn't always a movie where you have an arc. Mm-hmm. And I like that they recognize that. And Steve Carell played perfect here in this film. And finally, here's what Nat Faxon had to say about the ultimate takeaway for audiences.
Ideally, there is, as Jim said, a connection for people that watch this movie. And whether they're young, they will hopefully see the hope in this situation, that everything will work out, you know, just fine for this kid, you know. And if you're older and looking back, you know, you're remembering that moment and whether it was good or bad, how much you grew from it.
Wow, nice interview, Mr. Joseph.
They were great guys. By the way, like I said, I was sitting, I sat down with them. There's a photo of them on our Facebook page. So, you know, really, really nice guys. And so definitely go out and see the Way, Way Back exclusively at the Harkins Camel View 5. Big thumbs up.
That sounds really good. I definitely like those type of movies. And if they had anything to do with The Descendants, mm-hmm. I'm in because I love that movie. Let's take a quick break right now. You are listening to Breakthrough Entertainment, live from the 1480 AM studios in Phoenix, Arizona, KPHX. And nice music. Yeah. I love that. I feel like singing. I don't know the words. What are the words, Joseph?
This is from a Drew Barrymore movie. Music and lyrics.
I saw a part of Drew Barrymore movie, Never Been Kissed. Ever see that?
Yes.
Did you like it?
Yeah.
It was pretty good. How about you, Greg?
Yeah, it's good.
I thought it was really good. It gave me some ideas.
Yeah. Drew Barrymore is also in the movie. Anyway.
Another one?
Yeah, the movie that we were playing, Wedding Singers, from the other movie.
Cool. Yeah. That's nice music. Thank you, Eric, our great producer. And we'll be right back. Just in case I ever need them again someday, I've been setting aside time to clear a little space in the cold.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
At Beer and Bomb and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birnbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, Scottsdale. We know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment live from the 1480 AM studios, KPHX. Great, you're laughing. What happened?
No, I wasn't.
I'm laughing.
Yeah.
Oh, was he not laughing? He was just dancing?
He was getting into the music.
Oh, I thought he thought, you know, 1480 AM studios, KPHX, and anyway.
Well, we played that because we're going to be talking about the Hot Flash.
Oh, that's what it's about. Yeah, Hot Flashes, of course. Wow. And, of course, you can also hear us every Thursday, 2 to 4, Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network at Breakthrough Thinking, I mean, BreakRadioShow.com. I almost went the whole show without messing that one up, right? I did that for Greg, though.
And we've got exciting things, so people will want to stay tuned to the Facebook page. Again, BreakRadioShow.com. Click on the big F in the upper right-hand corner. You know, we might have some exciting news, and you might have a chance to win some things and see some movies for free. So definitely stay tuned to that.
Yeah, and definitely go on Breakthrough Thinking Facebook page because, BreakRadioShow.com, the big F, gets you right there because we may be doing a nice remote for many people to come out and see us, and we'll announce that.
Yeah, bring pens because you can get Dave's autograph.
And Joseph's. How about Greg's check? Okay. Anyway, we have now an interview. Do we have it right now? Or are you going to review
that? Yeah. Well, we can't review it yet because it comes out next week.
Okay.
It's opening Friday, July 19th, exclusively at Harkins Camel View 5. It's called The Hot Flashes. And in this film, Brooke Shields, Virginia Madsen, Daryl Hannah, Wanda Sykes, and Cameron Manheim play an unlikely group of middle-aged women who challenge the high school girls' state basketball champs to raise money for a mobile breast cancer screening truck to continue its work. We had on the director, Susan Seidelman, this past Thursday. That was a great interview. You can check it out again on BreakRadioShow.com. We highly suggest that. It was a great interview. But I had a chance to speak with Virginia Madsen earlier this week. And, I asked her a little bit about her character in this film. And this is what Virginia Madsen had to say about her character.
It really appealed to me working with this incredible group of women. You know, as you know, there's not a lot of movies about women. And you might be the only woman in the movie. If you get a part in one of them, and just that this cast, I mean, to work with this cast was, I almost said yes without reading it. And then, of course, when I did, I loved the role, and I loved that she was kind of the town tramp. And and she was a lot of fun to play. She was very sassy.
And sassy is one of the words that the director, Susan Seidelman, used to describe the actress, Virginia Madsen. Would you agree? Is that why you like her, Dave?
Yes, I was just answering an email. But, however, yes, I just love the movie Sideways, and she did a great job in Sideways. Yeah. Paul Giamatti, Donald Hayden Church.
Donald Hayden Church.
Donald Church Hayden.
Thomas Hayden Church,
Dave's whatever his name.
Dave's random stars of these movies.
Eric, help me out here.
Drug disclaimer.
I thought I did.
Yes.
Yeah, he did. He already did.
All right, Thomas Hayden Church.
He was in right away.
That was a great role. Didn't he win Best Supporting Actor? No, maybe not. I thought he did.
He was at least nominated, I think.
Yeah, he was at least nominated.
A tremendous role. I was hoping it would win Best Picture. It didn't. It's not that type of film.
It was an underdog film.
Phenomenal film. Funny and, meaningful. So, yes, I do like her.
Yeah. So, maybe you'll want to go out and check out The Hot Flashes. And, So I asked Virginia Madsen a little bit more about the cast, and here's what she had to say about the cast.
There's no way I could answer that question because they were just so incredible. And the only person I'd never met was Wanda. And I'd worked with Cameron. I'd worked with Brooke. I knew Daryl. I knew Daryl from years ago and just sort of knew her socially. And she, of course, worked on Kill Bill with my brother. But Wanda I'd never met. So she was the surprise and she was wonderful.
And I'm sorry, the question there was that I asked her was who was your favorite, you know, who was your favorite cast member?
And who's her brother?
Her brother?
Michael Madsen.
Exactly.
Which one did he play? Which one?
He was in Reservoir Dogs mm-hmm. and tons of other stuff.
Which one did he play in Kill Bill?
I'll bring him up for you right now.
Was he the one in the trailer that got bit by the rattlesnake?
I don't remember.
That's been a while.
Oh, he was good. Yeah.
Kill Bill, one of my favorite.
Which one? Volume 1 or 2?
Both of them. I can't wait for Volume 3, which Quentin Tarantino keeps teasing us with.
Yeah, but David Carradine died. Oh, he died anyway in Volume 2.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Out of the two, I liked Volume 2, but they're both.
I like Volume 2 too.
Tutu. Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right, Jordan. You change into that. And so now I asked Virginia Madsen about the basketball scenes in this movie because this is a basketball movie, and I asked if how that worked. Did she really enjoy doing that?
Well, you know, I didn't know how to play basketball. And even though I've been, you know, I studied dance for years. I was, you know, physically really fit. I was up for the challenge, but I felt very self-conscious about playing a sport. And I just didn't think I could do it. And, I was really, really scared. And I found out that I was pretty good. it's a new thing I never did before, and I could do it. And that was a huge surprise to me.
Yeah, she does. She plays basketball better than me, by the way. You know, after seeing this movie,
that's not hard.
Yeah, that's kind of like comparing first grown-ups to anything. But I was wondering if there was stunt doubles in this movie because all the actresses. Play basketball in this film, and I was wondering, you know, is there any stunt doubles or any doubles at all? And here's what she had to say about that.
Oh, no, there was no, they can't afford that. And also, there's really no way that you can have a stunt double in basketball. You know, you can't just show someone, because it's too fast moving, you can't just cut to somebody else's hands shooting the ball because you just have to see your face. And it was so great because we were all up for the challenge. All of us were strong, all of us were in shape. And so, well, of course, we had various aches and pains. but we got through it just fine. And the thing, obviously, you want stunt doubles if you're doing something dangerous, you know. But in a film like this, there's no reason why we couldn't do it. And then it made the games, of course, much more realistic and gave them a lot more freedom in the way that they could shoot it.
And we'll talk more about the Hot Flashes and with Virginia Madsen on our Thursday show. Again, breakradioshow.com. We've got a few more clips to play from her, so that should be very exciting.
Oh, good. Next Thursday, then.
Yes.
Wow, and we'll have a special location that we'll announce on our Facebook page. Probably Monday or Tuesday.
Right.
And a remote location.
Yeah. And there might be some things that we'll be giving away and stuff like that. So everyone will want to stay tuned for that. It should be very exciting and should be a party, right? That's what it's going to be like a party.
It's going to be a big party. A lot of people. So we'll announce that. That's very cool. And wow, I can't believe the end of the show already. But thank you to Devin Bostic, producer.
C6 Sailor.
That's going to be great. And, of course, your other film clips, Nat Faxon, Jim Rash, Virginia Madsen, thank you to them as well. Great reviews. Stay Away, maybe. Well, I shouldn't say Stay Away, but it's some thumbs down for grown-ups, too. Pacific Rim, but The Way, Way Back, thumbs up.
Yeah, and don't forget, like I said, from Thursday, Pawn Shop Chronicles. Go out and see that as well.
That's a good one, too.
Yeah, both that and The Way, Way Back. Completely different films, but they're both great.
Yeah, and we were going to take some second looks. We won't have time today. The Heat and Despicable Me, too.
Yep.
I didn't see Despicable
Me. Oh, I did. Good. I know. Yes. Thumbs up.
But I saw The Heat.
Okay.
And now the heat is on.
Just say thumbs up, thumbs down. We might have a minute.
Heat, thumbs up. No question about it. Yeah. And Despicable too. Me too. You liked it.
Yeah, that's good.
How about Mason? Does he give it a thumbs up?
He gave it, yes. Two big
thumbs up. All right. And thank you to our great producer, Eric. Eric, once again, thank you so much. You are awesome. And that wraps up Breakthrough Entertainment. And you can always hear us here live on 1480 AM KPHX every Saturday, 11 to 2, along with Breakthrough Sports and Real Hockey Talk. And Thursdays, 2 to 4, BreakRadioShow.com. Everyone, have a great weekend. Go Rattlers. Go D-backs. Mercury. Go Mercury tomorrow. Great games. I'll be at the Rattler game. Have a great night.
This is 1480 KPHX, Phoenix.